Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. It's always a joy to be able to come and share the Word of God with you. I tell you, it's been a fun week. I tell you, it's been some beautiful weather, hasn't it? I know we all need some rain, but I know we've been enjoying this cool and in these warm days. And I tell you, this month of October is going to be a great month. We want to invite you to our revival. We have revival coming up at the end of the month. Well, as a matter of fact, it's on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. We have Dr. Jody Dean, one of our New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary professors, will be coming to preach. He used to be here First Baptist on staff in Macomb. And then also we have a young man, Quint Atkins, who would be doing our music. So we're looking forward to that Friday night at 7 o'clock. Saturday night at 7 o'clock, and then Sunday morning, we'll only have one service that morning. We'll have Sunday school at 9:30 to 10:15, and then we'll start our worship at 10:30, and then we'll have lunch that morning. So we want to invite you to come out to our revival if you can. 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, we're looking forward to a great time. We need revival, amen? We need revival. We need revival here in West Macomb Baptist Church. We need revival in Macomb, Mississippi. We need revival across our nation. And brothers and sisters, I need revival in my own heart, and I know that you do too. So this morning, let's pray, and then we're going to get into our scripture. We're going to be reading from Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to begin with verse 16, and we're going to read through verse 28. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 through verse 28. As we think about this morning, have we lost all reasoning? Have we lost all reasoning? So let's pray, and then we'll get right into it this morning. Father, what a joy it is to be here with you once again, Lord, to come and to share your word. Lord, I just pray this morning for a great anointing upon this service. I pray for a great anointing upon this message, upon this radio station, upon the ones that are hearing it. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint me with your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that you'll fill me to a point, Lord, that there be no other room for anything else this morning to distract us, that Satan will be bound, that I'll be cleansed of my sin, that, Lord, that you will remove anything that stands between you and me this morning, and, Lord, that your word will not return unto you void, that Jesus will be uplifted, that he will draw all men unto him. Lord, we just pray this morning, if there is one lost in the sound of our voice, that they'll come to know you today before it's too late. We pray that Christian people will be encouraged, Lord, to live for you day after day, Lord. We pray this morning that you would just minister to the ones that may be shut in, that may be sick, not able to get to their church this morning. We pray for those that may be traveling, that you give them a safe journey to and from wherever their destination is today. But we thank you for them joining us in today as we read from your word. Bless the reading of it. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Just keep your Bible open there, that whole chapter. We're going to kind of be looking at that whole chapter. But for time's sake, we're just going to read verses 16 through 28 this morning. He says, wash you, make you clean, and put away the evil from your doings. For before mine eyes cease to do evil. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be like red, like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For with the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. How has this faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers, thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. Thy princes are rebellious and the companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts or a bribe, what we would say. They followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doeth the cause of the widows come unto them. Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will cease mine adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin. And I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed, and with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. You know, this morning as we hear God speaking, I love what he says here through the prophet Isaiah. He says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel. Ah, I will ease me of my adversaries and avenge me of mine enemies. That's verse 24. Thus saith the Lord. Time and time again, we hear this phrase, thus saith the Lord. Even though Isaiah is recording this for us, even Isaiah is pointing this out to the nation. Brothers and sisters, this is God's words this morning. As he says unto them, you need to cleanse yourself. You need to turn from your wicked ways. You need to come, and we need to sit down, and we need to reason together that you and I can come to this conclusion that, hey, the only hope that you have is in the Lord. Now think about that just a moment. Where has all of our reasoning gone? He asked a question here. He says, what has happened to you as a city? Now he's talking to Jerusalem. He's talking to the nation of Judah, the kings of Judah. He brings up how that Sodom and Gomorrah turned away from him in the first part of this chapter, and how that these cities turned away from him. And he said, now Jerusalem, what has happened to you? What has happened to you, the nation of Israel and of Judah? What has happened to you, the nation of the United States of America? What happened to you? At one time, you were a good city. At one time, everything was going good. You were faithful, and you carried out your judgments, and everything was good, and you was a great nation. But for some reason, he said, now you have played the harlot. Now it seems as if that all of your silver has become like dross. Your wine is like mixed water. In other words, all the good things that you had have been turned to bad. He says all of your princes, they're running around rebellious and with a bunch of thieves. In other words, all your leaders are just like a bunch of thieves. He says they love gifts. That means they love bribes. They love to be bribed and all those things. Listen, we've had friends who have been in foreign countries, in some of these Far Eastern countries. And brothers and sisters, you think our government's corrupt. I mean, everything that you get done is done with a bribe. It's an amazing thing I've ever seen. It seems like if you're going to get anything, you got to bribe somebody to get ahead. You can go to college and get degrees, but you don't get that degree until you bribe somebody for them to give you your extra pay or whatever because of that degree. Brothers and sisters, is that where we're headed in our nation? That everybody's looking for a bribe? Everybody's living as murderers and rebellious people? That those that should be leading us, they're not taking care of the fatherless, they're not taking care of the widows, they're not taking care of those that have in need? You know, I've been watching, and you know, it's been sad about what's been going on. They've been talking about all these tent cities they're putting up for all these refugees, and not refugees, but immigrants and people that are illegal aliens. Now, I just call them what I see them. I'm trying to be nice this morning. But just the illegal aliens that are coming into our nation, and they're building these tents in these parks and stuff. And it's in the same cities that we got what? Hundreds of homeless people, if not thousands of homeless people. We got veterans who are homeless, who are living on the street because they can't deal after they got back with the war. And brothers and sisters, now we're going to take care of these people that are not even from our country. We're not even going to take care of our own people. It's time that we sit down. Do you see what he says there in verse 18? He says, come, now let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, I can make them as white. Listen to me. It's time that we get some reasoning back in our nation. Our nation better wake up, because we're headed exactly where the Israelite people were headed. We're exactly headed down that same road that we see that Sodom and Gomorrah headed down. We have turned our backs upon God. We're following after these pagan gods. We're allowing all this immoral stuff to go on. And when we sit down and try to reason it, it seems as if we've lost all reasoning. Nobody understands any reasoning. I was listening on you just the other day. They was talking about one of these transgender persons wanting to be in the girls' locker room with the girls. And you know what they did? The 10 girls who didn't want to be in there with this one boy, guess what they did? They made the 10 girls go somewhere else, leave their own locker room and give it to this one boy because he said he was a girl. Now listen, where is our reasoning? God says we need to come together. We need to look. Where is our reasoning today and what's going on in our world? Well, let's see what he talks about. He says four different things here that I think we can see in these scriptures today. First of all, he says, you forget who owns you. Now, I know what you're thinking. Nobody owns you. Yes, they do. We've forgotten who owns us. Number two is, our acts of worship are just in vain. Our acts of worship are not amounting to anything. Number three is, repentance is the only cure that we have. Repentance is the only cure that we have. And then number four, we see in that verse 18, God promises a cleansing. God promises that he will cleanse us and he will clean us up and he will put us back on the right narrow. If we would come and sit down and plead our cause and reasoning with him and listen to the reasoning. Now, last Sunday night, I may get them to play that message for you on the radio in the next coming weeks because I think it's very important. But last Sunday night, I preached on, is God just wrong? Do we think God is wrong with what he's saying? Do we think God's reasoning is wrong? Do we think that he's got it all wrong and we got it all right? Is that where we're at? That we really think God has gotten it all wrong with the Green Deal? He didn't create everything right with sexuality? That he don't know how to make a male and a female and he makes mistakes? Do we think God got it wrong with what truth is? Do you think God got it wrong with what salvation is all about? I tell you, like I said, I don't want to preach that sermon. I'm on this right here this morning. So let's go back and think about these things this morning as we think about how we lost all reasoning. First thing, he says, have we forgotten who owns you? Now, let's go back and let's look at what he says there in verses 2 through 14. He says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. There it is once again. Who's speaking? Not just Isaiah, it's not just Van Wyndham this morning, but the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know, my people doeth not consider. Listen, did you hear what he's saying? He said, these are my children, this is my nation. I chose them. I said, I will be your God. You will be my people. I have chosen you. And he says, even an ox knows who his master is. Even a donkey knows what crib to go in and which crib to be in. He knows exactly who his master. He knows which crib to go in. He knows who he belongs to and who owns him. You know, Jesus talked about that he knows all of his sheep. He knows his sheep by name. But he also says what? His sheep know him. Do you get that? His sheep know him. They know who Jesus is. Do we know who owns us? Do we really know who owns us? Have we forgotten that it is God who made us, who God has created us, that is God who brought our nation together? And brothers and sisters, we are not our own. We are owned by God. Now listen, we can go over to the New Testament. We see where it talks about what Christ did for us, that he bought us with a price. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, listen to what he says. He says, what? Know ye not that you are what? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You have been what? Bought with a price. Glorify therefore what? God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. So you hear what he's saying? What? Have you forgotten? Do you not know? You're really not your own. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you have said, as Paul said, and we've been talking about this for the last several weeks, that I have been crucified with Christ, but yet I live, but not me, but what? Christ lives in me. You are not your own. God paid a price for you on Calvary through his Son, Jesus Christ. So why do we think we are our own? Why do we think we can do whatever we want? Now, he's talking here to Judah. He's talking here to Jerusalem. He's talking here to the Israelite people. So he's talking to his chosen people, folks. But see, God owns all of us. God made us. God created us. I don't care if you're a Christian here or not this morning. You're really not your own. God owns you. He gives you everything that you have. He allows you to breathe. He allows you to move. But you as Christians especially, and he's talking here to his people, to the Israelites. He's talking to Judah. He's talking to Jerusalem. And he says, now what's wrong here? Have you forgotten who it is that owns you? Even an ox knows his owner. Even a donkey knows where his crib is. And yet, you act as if you don't even know who I am. And yet, you act as if you have forgotten who really owns you. He says, we need to sit down and reason this thing out. We need to sit down and reason this thing out. I love some of our radio preachers that I listen to a lot of times. And I love Brother Tony Evans. I love what he said one time that his daughter, I think it was his daughter, you know, thought that her room was her room in his house. And she could go in, she could slam the door in his face and shut the door and lock the door. And so he said, what did he do? He took the door off the hinges. I know that's happened to some of my grandchildren. Their parents take the door off the hinges and remove the door. And say, look, this is my door. You can't slam this door. You living in my house, you can't slam this door in my face. Is that what we're doing to God? Have we forgotten who God is as a nation? Have we forgotten that our nation was founded upon godly principles? Have we forgotten as Christian people that Jesus paid the price for our sins so that we can have eternal life? Have we forgotten these things? It seems that we have. We need to come back to some good reasoning. Well, let's look at the second thing that he says. He says, your acts of worship are in vain. Look at verses 11 through 16. He says, what is the purpose of this multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and a fat fed beast. I delight not in the blood of bullocks and of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required that of your hands to tread in my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense, or the abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbaths, the calling of the assemblies, I cannot away with it. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts, my soul hated. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Listen to what he says here. He says, all this worship, all these things that you're doing, all these supposedly sacrifices that you have made unto me, he says, what good are these sacrifices if you got bloods on your hands? In other words, if you're not living according to me, if you're not doing what I've called you to do, if you're not living that righteous life, then what good is it? If you've forgotten who owns you, if you've forgotten who is your master, and you're just out here living your life like you want to, then he says, what good are the sacrifices? What good are these burnt offerings that you bring me, these burnt rams and the fatted beasts and the lambs and the goats? He says, who told you to come before me? He says, I am what? He says, don't bring no more. I am weary of these things that you have done it. He says, I don't want your solemn meetings. I don't want your sacrifices. He says, they're nothing but trouble unto me. Matter of fact, verse 18, he says, the appointed feast my soul hateth. When you spread up your hands. Now listen to me. You know, we have people in our church that raise their hands, and you know the Bible talks about raising your holy hands, but let me tell you something. If your heart ain't right with Jesus, then don't be raising up your hands. If your heart ain't right with Jesus, if your life's not right with Jesus, you raise your hands all you want to. And what did he say? All these prayers you made unto me, all these prayers you keep calling out unto me, he says, all these prayers not going to do any good. Your hands are full of blood. You have not repented. You have not changed your ways. He says, you got to change your ways. You got to be a different person for me to hear your worship. Think about that just a minute. of all the great worship service. You know, we're worshiping right now. We're going to worship in our church. Sunday morning, you know, we'll have worship, two worship services. We'll have Sunday school. We'll have discipleship training night, worship service on Sunday night. We'll have it on Wednesday. But God says, look, if you're not right with me, if there's blood on your hands, he says, and raising up those holy hands and offering sacrifices unto me. Now, I know we don't offer sacrifices anymore. We know that's a thing of the past. Why? Because Jesus is the only sacrifice that we need. He is that greatest sacrifice. But what we'd call it today is tithing. You know, he said, all your tithing that you're giving, all the things that you're doing, he said, you know, I'm not going to bless you because of that, because you're not right with me. You're not right with me. Now, some of you may have been glad to hear that this morning, because you said, well, preacher just told me I don't have to tithe and I'm not right with God. Well, listen to me. You better get right with God. Wouldn't it be better to live under the law of God? If we reason amongst ourselves, if we reason about ourselves, if we look at God's word and if we sit down with God and if we reason with ourselves, would we not come to the conclusion that it is so much better to live within the law of God than it is to live outside the law of God? See, brothers and sisters, God's going to punish us. He's not going to accept these vain worships. He's going to punish us. And we can sit around all we want to, and we can look at what's going on in the world at these 30 and 4 and 5 and sometimes 10 times that a person's been arrested and put back in jail. They've been offender of the crime. They won't live within the laws of this land. They just get picked back up. And it breaks my heart when I see people murdered and killed from these that should have already been in jail. Should have been in jail. But they are repeat offenders. God says, look, I don't want any repeat offenders. Hadn't you rather just live? If you sit down and reason with me, isn't it better just to live according to, you know, I tell our young people a lot of times, don't you see how much better life would be if you just go ahead and do what your parents tell you to do? Don't you see how much better your life would be if you just go ahead and do what your parents tell you to do? Just go ahead and do your homework. Clean your room up. I know back when I was in school in my early years, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade were my worst years in school, when I tried to rebel a little bit and didn't want to do what the teacher told me to do. And you know, once I found out I had a 6th grade teacher, boy, she wore me out twice. But she was a good teacher. She was a good woman, Miss Ford Williams, there in Hazelhurst. And I tell you, she straightened me out. And she got me to the point that I learned that, hey, it's a whole lot better to live within the law than without the law, on the outside of the law. It's a whole lot better to go ahead and do your homework. A whole lot better to go ahead and study and do good. And you don't have to worry about it. Go ahead and get it up. Go ahead and do it. And life's so much better. You know, when I went to the 7th grade, I was on the honor roll. I'll never forget when I saw her coming down the hall. She just hugged my neck and said, man, I'm so glad to see you doing so well. Brothers and sisters, life is so much better when we live inside the law of God. Let's reason it out. Let's look at it. Life is so much better. So what do we do? What is the cure then? How are we going to get back to our worship being right? How are we going to get back to knowing who owns us and who's in control of us? Well, he tells us in verses 16 and 17, where we started reading from, wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. So what does he tell us to do? Repentance is the cure. Did you see what he says? Repentance is the cure. The first thing he says is to wash you and make clean and put away evil. Cease to do evil. Now, how do you do that? Through repentance. This is the initiating of repentance. This is how repentance is initiated. It's saying, I'm going to stop doing evil. I'm going to cease from that evil that I was doing. And so once you do that, once you cease from doing that evil, this is the first part of repentance, is that I'm going to quit doing evil. I'm going to return, and I'm not going to do that evil anymore. I'm going to stop doing those things. Well, but it goes on further than that. Look what he said in verse 17 once again. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widows. Learn to do well. See, the initiating of repentance is to cease from doing evil. But the completion of repentance is when we learn to do good. The way that you complete repentance is you learn to do good. You do that which is right. It's not just the stopping. We've seen preachers show that to us in sermons before in the pulpit. You know, they'll say repentance, you're going this direction. You stop, but you don't just stop and stand there, right? And say, well, I stopped doing evil. I stopped doing wrong. No, repentance is when you stop doing wrong, you turn around, and you go in the other direction. And you work just as hard for God as you did for the devil. That's what true repentance is. You cease from evil, and you learn to do good. You learn to do good. Now then, notice what happens. Notice what he tells us here as we continue on. Now, in that verse 18, if we make ourselves clean through repentance, that's our part. We have to repent. You know, we can't wash away our sins. We can't get our sins forgiven. But if we will just repent, we make ourselves clean through that repentance, then God will make us clean by remission. Now, what does that remission mean? That means that he pays the price for our sins. That means that he forgives us of our sins, that he removes our sins from us. And is that not what he says in verse 18? Let's read it once again. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, you can't get much more contrast in colors than red and white, can you? That bright red. I love red. First new truck I ever bought, it was candy apple red. Now, all the ones I buy white. I like the color white. But there's not much any more contrast than you can get between red and white. And this is what he's saying. He said, if we will clean ourselves through that repentance, then God gives us a promise of cleansing. And it's called through what? The remission of sin. You know, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we'll be doing that next month in Thanksgiving in November, but when we partake of the Lord's Supper, you know, we get to that part that when we take the juice and we say, you know, drink you all of it, for this is my blood, which was shed for what? For many, for the remission of sin. This is my blood. This is my blood of the New Testament. This is my blood of what I have done for you that is new, that overrides that old covenant. This is my covenant with you, that if you will repent of your sin, I will cleanse you and make you white as snow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that great to think about what God promises to do if only we would just do our part and repent of our sins, forget and cease from doing evil, and learn how to do good? He said, I'm going to promise you, I'm going to cleanse you. I'm going to cleanse you. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, this is what he says. I, even I am, he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not, what? Remember thy sins. Did you hear that? It's me, God said, it's me that blots out those transgressions. It's me that makes them white as snow. And I do it for my sake, because you are my people. But I will forgive you if you'll repent, turn from your wicked ways. Paul, in his writing, talked about remission of sin, talked about forgiveness and all. But you know, there's nothing like what David prayed in Psalms chapter 51, that prayer of repentance. But listen to what he said in verse 7 of Psalms 51. He says, purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be white as snow. Now, we know that back in those days, they would take the hyssop, the bush, and they would sprinkle water of blood of a sacrifice, upon those that were lepers or those that had committed sins. And when they would sprinkle this blood upon them, it meant that they were cleansed from that. They were set free. They could go back and they could partake of the things that they were partaking of before. The leper could go back and rejoin his family and be back in society and do those things. And this is what David was praying for. He says, purge me with the hyssop. Wash me. Make me clean. And that's what God promises. It is I alone, who can cleanse you of these sins. If you would just repent of those things, if you'll just turn from your wicked ways, Don't forget that I own you. Make sure that you're right when you come to worship. He says, then I will cleanse you. You know, all these things that we're reading this morning from Isaiah, they point especially to what was going to happen to the Reformation that was going to happen in Judah because of King Hezekiah. We studied him not long in our Sunday school lessons and how he brought all the things back and how he reformed the nation and brought them back. How that they, it's leading up to their return from bondage from Egypt and the kingdom being restored. But you know, most of all, what we're talking about this morning is talking about that gospel kingdom where we live right now, that spiritual kingdom, that we are God's people because we are part of that New Testament church, because we have experienced that cleansing of Jesus Christ, because he is coming one day in that second coming and he will totally cleanse everything and set everything back in order. So why don't we sit down and reason this morning? If you know Jesus is coming in, why are you not getting ready? If you're a Christian, then why are you not living for Jesus? You're not your own. Let's sit down and reason today that if only you will repent, God promised you he will cleanse you. Even though your sins be red as scarlet, he'll make them white as snow. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these that have listened so attentively this morning. And Lord, I pray if there's one that has lost their reason, forgot who they really owns them, then Lord, help them to repent today. Help them to see that all that worship and all that praising, Lord, if we're not right with you, if we're not cleansed and got the blood off our hands, then Lord, then you're not going to accept it. Help us to see, Lord, that if we'll repent, you promise to cleanse us and make our sins, even if they're red, that you will make them white as snow. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.